When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you been a victim of a scalper and now you wander lost in the wild in fear that the toys you're hunting for will forever be out of your reach? Well, my fellow toy junkies, fear not. I have the answer. Well, actually, I don't, but these toy store owners do. Find them with me, Bevan, at a toy store near you, the podcast. What up, everyone? This is Bevan, and welcome to A Toy Store Near You podcast, a companion podcast to the show A Toy Store Near You, now found on Amazon Prime. Today, we are talking with Andrew of Toy Fusion. Let's go find out what he's been up to, shall we? Let's do it. So did you used to go to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con?
Like yeah, Vince? I started going back in 2006, and wow. It was back in the day where you can literally arrive there, and then walk upstairs, buy a ticket, and walk out without really waiting in line. And then Every year it got bigger and bigger. I think when they started introducing like Harry Potter casts, it got really crazy. You know, fans of movies started coming along more so than just comic and toy fans. Fans of like, I can't remember those movies came out. Harry Potter is one of them, but it started a catalyst of just influx of other fans who are just movie fans.
I always thought that it was Marvel that started the whole craze of Comic-Cons, but really, I mean, you hit it on the head that like when Harry Potter started coming out, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter were like coming out at the same time.
It brought out like the parents of the fans too. And then all of a sudden it became a huge thing where it grew a bigger fan base, but it got so also a little commercialized, but nonetheless, it became a huge marketing platform. And which is great for any convention to grow. I just wish it got more streamlined. That's what it was, streamlined. You know how Disneyland has fast passes?
You mean like Disney World where it has like fast? Oh, sorry. It's called the Genie Pass now. Oh, did he cut out? There you are.
Was it my side or?
Yeah, I mean, you cut out and I was like, well, Come back, Andrew, come back.
Sorry.
Can I tell you what was also very interesting about the con I was just at? There was a Backstreet Boy and an NSYNC boy there. And I was like, whoa. I was like, what? How is this? I guess they're a fandom. So I guess it counts.
Yeah. Let me guess. Was it Joey Fatone?
Yep.
Yeah. So get this. I went to a 2015 Back to the Future convention. And that's right. Was an auction to buy... to win that dress, Claire Clayton's dress from Back to the Future 3. And I didn't realize that the people who were kind of sitting next to me and bidding was also Joey Fatone and the cast of Impractical Jokers for some reason. And I realized, those guys are bidding against me, you know? I took a picture with one of them, but Joey Fatone was there too, but I didn't realize it was him until a little later. So I guess he's a big fan of pop culture as well. So
yeah. Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys was there and Joey Fatone was there.
I heard he had a real life rider car. I think I saw in some MTV Cribs thing. I was like, wow, that guy's awesome. He has all that stuff we grew up with. So
yeah. I mean, that's kind of what is handy if you become a boy band superstar, you know, you can go and collect your childhood again.
Yeah. And I kind of think that what's going to, in the future, if we have different ways of currency, like cryptocurrency, I wonder how it's actually integrated with conventions.
Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's a great question, though. You mentioned movie props, and I thought that was so interesting that your store had movie props in it. How many? I think I only saw a couple of it. How many movie props do you have in your store, and what did you do to get it?
We changed things around from time to time. Partly it was because on our front door, it says Relive Your Childhood Again, and it has a picture of a DeLorean, from Back to the Future. Uh-huh. And I kind of wanted to, if someone walks in, I want them to be seeing things that remind them of their childhood, but also have some props that related to time travel. Mm-hmm. So we have like the Claire Clayton dress for a while. We had the remote from the movie Click with Adam Sandler. We had the original Hero remote.
Yeah.
And some of those films talked about, going back in time. you know? And so I really wanted to have a couple of things that anchored that theme. But I switch things around every once in a while just because some of these props are very rare and I just didn't want to have this, you know, a risk of anything happening to it. But the main thing is that a lot of people come to our shop, they are in awe at first and they look around and it feels like they're in a museum, but they also have a lot of memories that come back. And I really enjoy hearing some of their stories. It makes me feel really good. And mm-hmm. There is a lot of people who work for the city who get stressed out on their jobs. So at lunchtime, they come visit our stores to hang out. And they would say, you know, they'll thank me for having a store there because it helps get their mind off things for a little bit before they go back to work. So in a way, I felt that was a community service that I was offering, you know, so.
That's cool. I've also noticed that your title is based off of Dragon Ball Z, but your logo is based off of Back to the Future. How did you fuse that together?
So the word toy fusion was loosely based off the fusion ha move from Dragon Ball Z. And I figured fusion is a kind of an emerging of different pop culture genres. So our front door has a Back to the Future type logo. And then our overhead sign has a G.I. Joe font.
Nice.
And so it's a little bit everything. And I hope I'm not, you know, getting in trouble with any trademark rights or anything, but we change it enough where it's mostly just to share the love of pop culture more so than anything. And kind of, you know, someone might recognize this or that. And so I just try to use different themes or fonts just to hopefully capture someone's interest. And I think also we have the monument sign outside with G.I. Joe looking font. This is Toy Fusion. And it's red, white, and blue. So a lot of people see that right away. And they, you know, I had customers say that they drive by, they see something that looks like G.I. Joe and it captures their attention. And that's how they find our store because we're kind of hidden behind another building. So so some of those logos that are kind of recognizable helps us get noticed as well. So
that's pretty cool. And I love the word fusion because I feel like fandom in itself has become a fusion of different types of IPs and stuff like that. Like somebody's not just a diehard Marvel fan. They have some DC that they like as well. And they're not just a comic book fan. They love some video games as well. Mm-hmm. Or they like sci-fi or they like fantasy. Like Outlander counts as something of a fandom because it deals with time travel. So that you see the Outlander cast always at Comic-Con. So it's really, I almost feel like the title Comic-Con has become obsolete now because it is just basically about fandom. And fandom is all encompassing of different types of properties from mangas to animes to video games to time travel to sci-fi to fantasy to superheroes to comic books to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know?
Yeah. I was wondering who bought fandomcon.com then. Or
I know, right?
Just to just prepare for the future evolution of these events.
I mean, I definitely do think that I think Comic-Con, maybe the title will stay because it's recognizable, but I almost feel like the title doesn't really make sense anymore.
Well, I remember San Diego Comic-Con had a huge legal battle with other promoters who had the word Comic-Con in it. And I'm not sure what the end result was, but it was a huge thing a while back ago. And I hope they resolved it because I think Comic-Con should be a word everyone can use because it represents something much more than one location. So whether it's San Diego or New York or.
Right. And I believe the people that own San Diego Comic-Con only have that one con and maybe one other, and that's it. But you have companies, a massive company like ReadPop that has cons all over the world.
Yeah.
And they are all massive. I mean, they have Star Wars Celebration, they have New York Comic-Con, they have C2E2, you know, and all that stuff.
Well, and then I've been going to those cons in San Diego for so long where I remember Sci-Fi Channel was SCIFI, and they had changed it to SYFY because you know you can trademark a word in the dictionary. So maybe if San Diego Comic Con really wants to brand themselves, change a C to a K or something like that. Everyone still knows San Diego Comic Con, but everyone else can use the word Comic Con with a C elsewhere.
Right.
This is my 2 cents. That's all.
That's your 2 cents. Everyone take it with a grain of salt. It's his 2 cents and my 2 cents. They should retitle it. What I also found really interesting that I see like a through line with all these interviews that I have is that there is a dividing line of Funko Pops, toys or not toys, have it in your store or not to have it in your store. And I believe I saw some in your store.
Yes. So this is a personal opinion, but it doesn't reflect the business of Toy Fusion. But personally, I thought Funko Pops would have been a phase after a couple of years, like Beanie Babies. But to my surprise, it didn't go away. It kept growing and growing. And I was just thinking, well, these boxes look the same. The figures look almost the same. And I guess from customer feedback is they like the characters because they have a huge licensing library where they can produce, you know, characters for their favorite TV show, their movie. So I get it. Unfortunately, Beanie Babies didn't really have that much licenses. It had, you know, bears or parrots with names. So I'm thinking, oh, also Funko Pops publicly traded now, or Funko. And that stock has been growing as well. And I think they purchased Loungefly or something.
So yes, yes. Backpacks. I know the people that run Loungefly. They're really
so they're
nice
growing.
People.
It's amazing. Yeah. And so my kind of half joke is we will know that Funko Pops has hit its peak when they start making Beanie Baby Funkos. You know, that'll be the catalyst of something, I think.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've interviewed a lot of toy owners that like, I do not carry those things. You get out of my store versus, they sell. So I'll just put it in there. Why not?
Well, being a store owner for all these years, I realize that I might have my own opinions, but I'm really there to help serve the customers. And so I really appreciate their feedback, their wants. And when we had the people asking about it, we started carrying it. Although we don't have the largest selection, we do have a good variety from time to time.
I mean, look, it's smart. And I think, again, going back to your keyword fusion, is that you have to fuse the past with the new in order to stay relevant, right? Like, it's crazy to me to see stores that, and look, all power to them and keep it. But I'm just wondering, you're maybe setting yourself up for an uphill battle if you only want to sell certain types of toys, certain genres of toys, certain eras of toys, when, you know, your audience is getting older. And especially for somebody like that, like me, I'm a kid from the 90s, and now the 90s is considered vintage now. And that's crazy to me.
It's we're all getting older, and I'm surprised that I've seen, because I'm a child of the 80s. I was born in the late 70s, but my fondest memories were of the 80s. And I've seen G.I. Joe go through its third or fourth incarnation. I was like, wow, it's still relevant.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of Robotech, the cartoon series from the 80s, and they still make toys of that now. And like Funko Pops, those are things I didn't grow up with, but I started carrying it. And over time, I was appreciative of certain things because I started seeing, oh, they made a Jetfire Funko Pop. Really? Wow. You know, I got impressed because I was a big fan of the 80s and started making the little stuff that I grew up with. And so I get some of the fans who are really into it. What I'm really trying to figure out is how much is enough? Because I know some collectors who have a whole house full of it that fills a whole wall. And at one point, how are you going to, unless they make mini Funko Pops, make it maybe a quarter the size, it'd be better, I think. So
I know, it's crazy.
Cool. This is an idea for Funko. Make smaller mini Funkos and redo the whole line again. Just smaller.
Just like the Funko Japan. Minis.
Yeah, mini boxes, everything. So
it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Do you have any Batman movie props? I'm a big Bat geek.
During the past 20 years, I do get approached by some collectors who collect certain things. And some of the items come with COAs. Some of them have been bought for me directly through auction houses. Sometimes when we get collections, we're not sure about the provenance. And a COA can be made cheaply. So it's really risky if you're not sure where you're buying it from.
Right.
So I think I may have had an opportunity to buy something related to Batman, but I just didn't really felt confident from the origin. So because they make a lot of things that you can easily say this money was made from the background for the Batman scene or something like that. But they're easy to find stuff like, you know, fake cash from Gotham or something like that. You can find on the internet, like eBay. And then usually auction houses on their catalog offer something from Batman. I think there was a huge auction with Batman a couple of years ago where they had the 88 Batman Jack Nicholson outfit for sale. I don't remember how much it went for, but it went for a lot. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's Prop Store, I think, was the auction.
Well, you post it on social media as soon as you get a Batman thing, and I will geek out over that because I love me some Batman.
I'll let you know. I have a friend who was making his own Tumblr in Arizona. Street Legal Tumblr, but he never finished it. He got up to like 75% done, but yeah, it was one of those things too. If you build it too accurately, then Warner Brothers may be knocking on your door. So
they'll be like, listen, hi, they're going to have a Jeff Goldblum voice. Yeah. This Tumblr thing, get rid of it.
Yeah. I've heard there, some fans who made the 88 Batmobile. And one guy in my area, I think there's a red one because it couldn't be black. So he made it red. And so you hear these stories. I haven't seen it in person, but I've heard it from the people where, if two or more people talk about it, it should be out here somewhere in California. So
that's cool. Speaking of things that are out there, I am so intrigued by the fact that you send toys to outer space. Can you expand on that? Okay. That was a very short segment in the show.
I met John Powell a long time ago. I actually forgot how we met. He might have came to my store at my old location, and we started talking, and he told me he does missions out in Nevada, and I think I was invited to one of the missions, and my impression was we were out in the middle of nowhere. It was kind of close to where they had Burning Man, I think. And literally you drive like, wow, if they dropped me off here, I'd be dead because I wouldn't know where to go. It's just like, there's dirt everywhere. There's like cattle bones or something, like horse bones on the road. But the cool thing is that we caravan with like 20 or more people. And now he's built a facility out there where they use like hot air balloons. And it's a different form of technology to send stuff up to the mesosphere, which is closest to the space as you can. And they do a lot of experiments with schools and children where it's called a Pongstat, where they give schools ping pong balls and the kids put something in the ping pong ball and they send it to space for them so the kids can test their own experiments. And part of it is they do it for schools, and then they do things for production companies. I think, believe it or not, I think he had mentioned Christopher Nolan or a producer of a Batman movie that they filmed something for them using the same type of technology where they put a camera into a hot air balloon and go up to space to film something. They did some stuff for Samsung.
Wow. They said,
so they do a lot of commercial stuff and a lot of stuff for education. The amazing thing is that I get to talk to people who work for NASA, who work for, just different companies, and just hearing some of their stories is fascinating. So I get to hang out with a lot of smart people. I think I'm one of the dumbest people there, or dumbest person there, but.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That looked like something right out of like a Mythbusters episode.
It could. It's just the thing is that once the balloon pops and lands, John and his team might drive like literally 4 hours out to get it, to retrieve it. And that's a challenge in itself too.
Right.
So, and then they have a tracker device where it lands and it could be anywhere, but they have, the information from the weather, GPS to kind of figure out where it could land in a certain radius and plan it. But sometimes things happen where it could be a mile away or it could be, 3 hours away. So
how do you choose which toy goes to infinity and beyond?
There's a weight limit. And we had they gave me a little box to put some stuff in. I put a lot of Galoob micro machines and figurines in there, and it had to meet a certain weight requirement though. And, okay. And we threw that up there for that segment we had for the Toyster U. And I sent the Nacelle company some of the toys that were on that mission with a little CLA signed by John, and I thought it was really nice.
Nice.
And, I hope they enjoy it. I think Brian's a big fan of Star Trek.
Yes.
So I made the point that we had an Enterprise in that mission, and hopefully he got the Enterprise. So
now, have you seen John's backdrop when he, have you done a Zoom meeting with Brian?
I've seen Brian's backdrop. It is amazing. I am also a toy collector. I have a lot of toys in storage, a lot in my house, but they're all boxed away because I have so much, and so I don't display it. It's just, It looks like the scene from Indiana Jones and where they bury the ark in this warehouse.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to a point where being a toy collector turned into, a toy owner, a toy store owner. Everything is all space and it's just utilizing space. So at the point now, I'm just, see how much boxes I can fit in an area, and it's not displayed well yet. Maybe one of these days. But it's one of the things a toy collector can really accentuate their house by having a really cool display, a couple of field toys, and it almost looks like a piece of art now. And I think toys has become almost modern pop culture art, where you walk into someone's house and see a nice statue or a toy, and it just, you know, it makes them just as happy as looking at a Picasso or a Monet at a fraction of the cost. So
true story. Have you seen also Brian's office?
Yes. What he does is intros. I just see the wall of
that's his toys. Office.
Yeah. I'm happy that he's able to work on this project that gives all of us toy collectors a voice.
Yeah.
Through some of his production. And I really appreciate that. And I hope that I can help contribute in the future with some of our thoughts. I'm happy that he's doing what we always wanted to do, is being in a job that we love, but also produce something that other people can appreciate it. Where, unfortunately, if someone haven't been to our store personally, they might not know what we really do, but that show really helped at least show the people who haven't been to our store what it's kind of like. And I am very grateful for him to give us the opportunity to kind of share a little bit of our toy store for people who might want to travel. I mean, I've had people come from, you know, Reno, Las Vegas, or they'll make a point to, you know, drop by our store on their way, you know, to San Francisco or vice versa.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. But tell me, how did you get involved with the Toy Store Near You? Walk me through that process.
I think it was through Facebook. I think a friend mentioned, if you have a toy store or something, to send an email or submit something. And so I read the email, I was like, okay, that's great. Although I didn't quite know how it was going to be produced. And I think we just film our own thing and submit it, and hopefully it gets picked up. So I did it with just a hope that maybe what we already filmed may be of use. And I'm glad that I worked with a great team that had a decent camera and eye for, you know, videography, because it could have turned out really a lot worse with a grainy cell phone camera, you know. And so, but I'm glad that it worked out well. It looked great on TV. The editing was amazing. I guess without editing, it'd be me going, a lot. And so my friends were also helping direct me to get my mindset from out of anxiety to more of just passion. So, and I hope that it came across well. I think it did.
No, it did. It went really well. Did you receive any retakes, edits?
Well, we did film something which the audio didn't quite pick up. And so I think Richard asked us to redo it, which I was happy to, because I really wanted to make it the best episode that we can, you know, create the better content for them to work with. But redoing the audio, we may have talked about different things, because I couldn't remember what we talked about the first time. So we just redid it. And I learned a lot, though, in production and how to, you know, have certain mics ready. And having one mic far away is not going to pick up anything. So you have to have these lanyards or something closer. That's what I learned.
That's what you learned? Did you learn anything about how to shoot anything? What camera did you guys use?
You know what? It's a good question. I'm sure we used a decent... Ricky Borba helped film the second part of some of our reshoots. And he had a camera that he used that he shoots for movies. And all I remember, I think he said it was like a $8,000 or $10,000 camera. So I don't know what kind of camera it was, but it was nice, a digital one. So yeah,
that's nice. It might have been a Sony.
Maybe. Well, I need to learn more about this stuff. So I feel really bad I'm not able to answer these questions.
No, you're fine. I was just curious. Because there were some episodes that were shot with their iPhone, and they, you know, let's not knock the iPhone. I mean, the iPhone's come a long way in terms of their camera capabilities.
Well, I've seen people on YouTube shoot almost movies and it looks great. So
yeah,
whether it's a $10,000 digital movie camera or iPhone, someone may not know the difference. You know, but I guess what it comes down to is audio is very important.
Yep.
And with, you know, you can have a great looking scene, but with really bad audio, it just takes you out of that scene.
Yep.
And also you hear echoing of, you know, and stuff. So yeah, I think if anything, audio is more important, more so. I hope my audio is okay, because I'm just talking through this laptop here. Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. You are totally fine.
Okay.
Only a couple of pops. But it's not anything that, you know, those editors at Nacelle Company are fantastic. I love them. So they're great. They make miracles happen.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with this interview, but I hope that I can share everything, you know, that's meaningful, that could be useful. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing fantastic. You're killing it. Great stories all around. I believe you wanted to show me some toys, right? Did you have them with you?
We featured a MacGyver action figure.
Uh-huh.
And it was great because they did a lot of research, and everything that I talked about, they delved deeper into it. And I don't think they showed this one yet, but I don't know if you can see this. Can you see it here?
Oh, I can see it.
Okay, it's a MacGyver playset where it comes with a figure and two vehicles. It comes with a Ferrari where he fits inside. But the funny thing is the Jeep is out of scale. It's like super small.
Oh, really?
So I'm not sure why they put the Jeep in there. So this is kind of another rare gift set from Brazil, Argentina. At first, we had a couple carded figures back in the early 2000s. And we weren't selling for that much because it was still easy to get from Argentina. And it was more of a funny joke for our store where people come in and go, what, they made this? And they laugh. And it was kind of fun eye catcher, just for a point where people can laugh at it. And all of a sudden, you know, years later, it becomes one of the rarest toys, going for like almost $800 to $1,000. Like, wow. Oh, wow. You know, we sold them at a store like for, I think, $80
when
we
first got
it, way back when. Yeah. So unfortunately, I have one left. Now it's super rare.
Now it's super rare.
Yeah.
Is it like the Rocket Boba Fett one? Rare?
Well, the Rocket Boba Fett, I have some friends who own a couple. Brian Rockfold is one of the owners who has, I think, L slot or J slot. From what I've known, there's only a certain amount out there, maybe 30. And there's different versions. There's an L slot, J slot. So out of the 30, there could be more. I'm not sure. So, but these were never released publicly. So the only way you can get them is through internal means, whether it's someone who worked on it, a salesman sample. But I've also seen the prices for those skyrocket as well.
No pun intended. Or maybe pun intended.
Well, I think I could have bought one for $35,000, maybe.
Oh. Only $35,000, no big deal.
It was obviously really expensive back then, but it was offered for that price. And I think that same one's now worth over $100,000 or $120,000, like 8 years later or something. So, but I wish I bought Bitcoin back then in 2010, you know? So it's all these things. And, you know, even like a couple of years ago, Ethereum was only $200. Now it's like $3,000 for Ethereum. Cryptocurrency is what I'm talking about, in case anyone might not understand.
Monopoly money.
It could be, or it could be the digital currency that we're waiting for. You know, I went to San Francisco the other day, and some restaurants will accept credit cards now, no cash accepted. So I think eventually, if we follow some, you know, logic to conclusion, eventually there'll be no cash. We'll have a cashless society, maybe, and just do cryptocurrency or credit cards or.
Well, that way they can track everything that we do.
Well, after that, though, following Brian's love of Star Trek, maybe we'll have no cash in Star Trek world, you know, and just, you know, do other things for currency. So
we'll do other things, quotation marks for currency. We will do other things. We'll do the bartering system.
Well, I had some friends who went to Burning Man, and, you know, they don't use currency. A friend who went there said that if you want a drink at the Burning Man bar, you just tell a joke.
Or, really? That's cool.
Tell a story. And that's how you earn your keep there. Provide a service with entertainment or whatever. Yeah, it's very interesting.
I could tell a couple of Star Wars jokes.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay.
Sure.
Why does the Death Star not have any stairs?
Why?
Because they use the elevator.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I get it. I'm sorry. I never heard that before. So that's a good thing. So,
why does episode 4, 5, 6 come before 1, 2, and 3?
I don't know.
Because in charge of the order, Yoda was.
Okay. I don't know anything funny to respond to that, unfortunately, yet. But,
no, it's fine. One day I got really bored and I was like, I'm going to look up really corny dad Star Wars jokes.
I can show you some really bad corny toy humor. For the longest time, there's a lot of memes on the internet in the toy world, and they made some actual customized action figures of like it was a carded bubble, and it's a card pack of Star Wars. There's nothing in it. It's called the Force, or there's you see some tribe remains as an Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen, or a box of rocks. This is pieces of Alderaan or something like that.
Oh no!
And so if you look on the internet, you'll see them there.
Yeah,
I didn't see them for sale, but I've seen some just for show, just for art, you know, purposes. And it was funny.
That's so funny. That's really funny. Speaking of like rare toys, is there a conquest toy that you have that you're going to go there and back again for that you haven't gotten?
I used to have a conquest toy. When I was younger, I collected toys, and I over time, I think I've caught most toys I ever wanted as a kid. I think to answer your question fairly, I think now is I really appreciate the experiences and memories I've got to have during this whole journey of toy collecting, meeting amazing people, being a part of this production, being featured on a Toy Story Near You. It's all related because I love toys and collecting. And I think that having one toy that's considered holy grail for some people might be great, but for me, it's I'm still appreciating the journey more so.
Nice.
I'm just looking for that one thing. So.
Oh, that's sweet. That's cute.
If I had to answer something, I'm going to have to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't think of anything I really want. I think
that's okay.
just the memories are amazing, and then the evidence of this journey is my favorite thing. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I will take it. I will completely take it.
But I do have customers who have their wants, and part of the fun is I'm trying to find things for our customers. You know, seeing them happy makes me happy. So.
Okay, throw it down. What are you hunting for a customer right now? What's in demand?
Well, some customers want vintage Star Wars toys, and they want stuff in package. Unfortunately, now they're very expensive, more so than 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And finding toys, running a vintage toy shop is a little different because when we sell something vintage, we have to go back and find them again to restock our store.
Right.
So all the other toy stores have amazing product. Looks so amazing compared to what we have featured in our store. And I think the reason why is we don't have all the rare toys and all the high-end toys on display is because over the 20 years, we sold them already. We've actually had almost everything at one point or another, but over the past 20 years, it came and went. And if we were to have everything on display, it'll look amazing. But the reality is, you know, to pay our bills, we buy something, we sell it. Someone's happy. Sometimes customers bring stuff back after years because they either stop collecting or collect something else, and we get the items back, which is great. But what it comes down to is restocking. It's a little bit of a change because we can't go back in time to 1980 and buy G.I. Joes and Transformers.
Right.
We buy collections and we go to toy shows. We buy. So our profit margin's not that high, but we do enough to still be around after 20 years. So.
Bravo. You don't have a Princess Diana bear, do you? Beanie Baby, right?
No, we do. But the thing is that those have been bootlegged so much where I can't tell the difference. It's very hard
really?
To. And I've had people bring Princess Diana bears to our store over, you know, at least 5 or 6 occasions. If it's the original one, it's very rare, but there's so much knockoffs of those. It's hard to tell. And for me, it's not really worth the risk, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but if you go to eBay, you'll see Beanie Baby Princess Diana bears go from $1 to maybe $10,000. The ones that are $10,000 don't sell, but there's someone asking for that somewhere on eBay.
Wow. Speaking of the digital storefront, has your digital storefront transformed since 2020? Has it changed at all? Or is it the same?
So right now, we had an online website, but we had to take it offline for a time being just because we couldn't restock vintage toys fast enough.
Okay.
Because it would just see sold out. So we're actually working on a new storefront, online storefront soon. Hopefully it'll be out later this year or next year with better user interface. So our website, unfortunately, it looks very dated. It's almost looks like GeoCities, you know, for the 90s is really not up to date, but we're working on it right now. I think our website is kind of an inside joke that, you know, it feels all nostalgic already.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. How about your social media? Did that change or alter at all since 2020?
I believe when we had the heavy pandemic, when we had to shut down for a while, I purposely tried to make it fun for some of our followers who follow us on Facebook. Our handle name is Toy Fusion Collectible Store on Facebook. I started doing free drawings for toys, or if any of our fans saw our post, if they answer a question, you know, we randomly pick a winner and we send them free toys. It was my way of, again, trying to create some fun for our customers and doing something for the community when everyone was going through a weird change in a paradigm shift of, you know, being stuck at home. And so I think we gave away a lot of toys, but I hope we had a lot of fun and built some new customers that way. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's really awesome. And that's a great, fantastic idea too. Yeah. And I love art and I love drawing. So that's really cool. I like that a lot. Yeah. Are you still doing that, or is that
we raffle off toys through drawings online. So, like, you know, you pick a number 1 through 100, and then the person who gets close to the number gets a free G.I. Joe figure or Lego set or
sketches. With sketches. I kind of like, somebody sketches a toy and then they win. Cool.
Oh, no, my bad. Yeah, we're actually sending out toys, Legos, action figures. And it was just a way of connecting with our customers, even though we couldn't, you know, see them, you know, and just some of the responses is, hey, if we made them happy, then I felt that we did something good. So
that's awesome. Are you still doing that, or is that kind of fallen to the wayside right now?
We haven't done it for a while since we opened our store back up, but I'd be happy to do it again if there's people who can't, you know, maybe have the time to visit our store. I might do something for the holidays where we have some rare toys, but have a fun thing where, you know, even if you live far away, you can be part of this by entering a contest or something, that we'll give away a free toy again. So actually, you know what? We do have some other figures that we sent out through JP Aerospace mission that I might raffle off. And so we have a little figurine still and a couple of ships that went to the mesosphere that we made.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if people want to get involved on that, how do they find you? Where can we find you on the social channels?
Our email is store@toyfusion.com. Our Facebook is Toy Fusion Collectible Store. And I believe our Instagram is Toy Fusion Store.
Nice.
There.
Well, you heard it here, folks. That's how you find them. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been a lot of fun. I love the toys in space. You got to send a Buzz Lightyear next time. I mean, I just feel like that's okay. A given.
I'll ask them. And I appreciate this opportunity. I didn't realize it's been almost an hour already.
We're good.
Can I share two more things, maybe?
Two more things.
If it's not used, it's okay. I do appreciate the cell company and Brian and everyone and Richard, but I also wanted to, I'm not sure if I thanked my mom earlier, but I want to thank my mom for not throwing my toys and letting me, you know, collect all these things I grew up with. And I think that was part of the reason why I still love toys, is because I wasn't really given the choice of getting rid of my toys or whatever. So I think my mom helped me out with, I think the very first figure she bought me was a Darth Vader figure from Star Wars.
The Force is strong with your mom, that's for sure. Yes. So we all thank your mom. And this is Bevan from a toy store near you. And we will see you guys next time. Say bye, Andrew.
Bye. See you later.
Thank you for watching A Toy Store Near You, brought to you by The Nacelle Company. Be sure to follow The Nacelle Company on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And be sure to also follow Toy Fusion and Andrew, because he's a nice guy and toy stores need some love. I'm Bevan. Find me at Bevan, why not now on Instagram and Facebook. See you guys later.